about your thoughts on the church?
My thoughts on the church?
Yeah. Or, like, what's your, like, the difference between, I guess, following Jesus and your church, like, churchianity, I guess? Or
yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm...
Yeah, the word the word church is. I'm Jim, by the way.
I'm Aaron.
Aaron,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So my wife Debbie.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
The word church is such a broad church word. You know, it's like the word love. You know, I love pizza. I love God. I love my wife. It's got all kinds of meanings to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're talking about like the world's church, the church that man created, I mean, that's anywhere from what you know, Roman Catholicism, which is one of the biggest. And of course, you have Islam, another big one. Then you have evangelicalism that falls in underneath that. And all the other ones, Roman, Jehovah's Witness, you know, Baptists, whatever. They're all made of man. So my view on them is Christ is the linchpin. Christ is the crux.
Right.
He's the foundation. Yeah. He's everything. So what I always ask people, no matter if they're Roman Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, whatever, I always ask them, who are we all claiming to follow? And almost everybody says, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then, other than a few cults like the Mormons, they kind of have their own book, and you know they write their own. They're a full blown cult. But you know, sticking with like evangelicalism and like say Roman Catholicism, most people say, well, yeah, the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is God's word. So I just simply ask people, if we're following Jesus, and people believe he's God and the Son of God, and we're keeping his word. I always ask people, where should we go for the truth and what should we be following? And the answer is, I believe, per Jesus, that we should be going back to his word, his model, his ways that he ordained in the first century for his body. Does that make sense?
So do you think like...
But wait, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So he, if he's our foundation, his word, his ways are supreme, we follow his ways, why is it that people have gone off to follow Roman Catholicism? Clearly created by men.
Where it's like a papal authority.
Yeah. And then evangelicalism broke away from that, but didn't break far enough. And really, in so many places, the modern pastor kind of serves as a mini pope.
Yeah.
And that's not the model of God. So when you ask my opinion is unless you're following Christ's model from the first century, you're not following Christ.
Okay. Yeah, that's... I have very similar views for that, I think. Because it's... I mean, I just graduated from Wheaton College in Illinois last year, which is very like
very liberal.
Set yourself up for getting into sort of like you pick your denomination, you pick your sort of beliefs, and then you sort of get funneled into.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing too, and not to like kind of pour water on what you did, but if you think about it, all those institutions are made of man.
No, exactly.
And certificates and degrees and seminary degrees are all made of man. And Jesus said you must worship in spirit and truth. And it's all about his word, his spirit, and following him. And what I find is as we travel the country, I'm a street preacher, and we were just preaching in the Dells. As we travel the country, what we find is that everybody is kind of holding to a little bit of Jesus.
Yeah.
I always say, like, Jesus is there like icing on the top. But when you cut the cake open, it's full of man-made traditions. Let me give you another example. Christmas and Easter. Have you studied these? Not the way the seminary teaches you. Study them in the scriptures and you'll find out.
This is my sister.
Hello there. I'm Jim. This is Debbie.
Nice to meet you guys.
When you dissect those holidays and you look at them, you see God did not ordain them. These are started with the papal authority. Easter, the word Easter means Ishtar. It's a pagan goddess.
Yeah.
But yet they've adopted and brought it into Christianity. And here's a troubling thought. If you want to see Christ, go read Mark 7. I don't know anywhere where it gets any clearer. Jesus is eviscerating the Pharisees because the Pharisees are telling people, wash your hands, wash your pots, wash your cups. These are the rules we've installed. And Jesus said, my Father's word has no such teachings as that. And he says, you void your worship of God by keeping your man-made traditions. That was over washing some pots and cups. What do you think he'd say about Christmas, Easter, modern worldly music, worldly lifestyles? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they don't teach you that in seminary. Seminary, they teach you as much about marketing. It's very much a people-pleasing mindset. How do we fill the building, keep it filled? How do we have church growth of 10% every year? Jesus said there's going to be few true disciples. Not many. Few. So, to answer your question, what do I feel about the church? I feel like 99% of them are all following false ways. And there's a small fraction of people that have repented. We used to be drunks and worldly people. And also part of evangelicalism. And they didn't mind, by
the
way.
What are you now?
We follow Christ. We don't belong to any group.
Nice.
Yeah, we don't belong to any group. But imagine that. We were a part of evangelicalism. They didn't even know us enough. They didn't even care enough to know that we were drunks, partiers, worldly, on our way to hell. All they cared about was, see you Sunday, church.
Yeah.
That's not what saves you. What saves you is the biblical gospel. Let me preach it to you. Christ, the foundation we talked about, his shed blood for the washing and cleansing of our sins, his resurrection to defeat death. You're young people, but death is still coming for you. It's coming for us. Jesus defeated death at the resurrection. And we have to place our faith in him. Now, most American churchianity stops there. Believe in Jesus, raise your hand, say a prayer, you're going to heaven. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that's the beginning. Then Jesus' first ministry words were, repent. Most people don't teach you what repentance is. They think it means feel bad about your sin, but you're going to keep sinning. No, repentance is changing your mind, turning and going God's way, leaving the culture, leaving your sin. We were drunks. We were worldly people. We had to leave that behind. Mm-hmm. We can't follow God in sin.
Yeah.
And then when God sees a willing vessel, faith, repentance, you'll be born again. When you're born again, you get a new heart, you get a new mind. It's a spiritual work of God. You can't do it. We can't do it. But our will unites with God to do it. And the fruit you're born again isn't you go to seminary, isn't that you go to church on Sunday, isn't that you listen to worship music and do this and say you love God. That's not the fruit. The fruit is, I'm holding my phone because that's I use it in the Bible. Does your life start to align to his word, his ways? How you talk, how you spend your money, who you associate with, how you worship, how you dress, how you act. Those are all covered by Scripture, God's commandments. And then we have to endure in the faith. The church world is awash with Calvinism. One of you is predetermined to go to heaven and God picked you. I'm sorry, you don't get to go. God didn't pick you. This is a lie. The Bible says God wants none to perish in Peter. In Acts 17, Paul says God calls men everywhere to repent. All men. Everywhere to repent. So Calvinism, throw it out. That's the gospel. You got to place your faith. You got to repent. Ask God for new heart, new mind. Then strip your life down. We lost most of our family. We lost most of our friends. We had to leave the church. We're not part of the culture. Movies, sports, politics, entertainment. Does that have anything to do with the kingdom of God?
No.
God is holy. We're not to mix the holy with the profane. Now, we go into the world. We were just street preaching at the Dells.
Yeah.
And we go into the world and we try to call people that will listen to repent and come out. Jesus said, lose your life and find it in him. You aren't really following Jesus until you've taken that old life and put it away and turn and follow him. And then he says, no one in Luke 9:62 is fit for the kingdom of God if they look back a lot. Wow, I used to go to seminary. Jesus says, go, follow me. What did he say to the men? Drop their nets, follow me.
Yeah.
So that's my long answer is the church, I don't know. Ready for this? If you can prove me wrong, I'm going to give you a gospel card with my, if you'll take
sweet.
It, with my email and my phone number, everything on it. That's the gospel I just preached to you. And then I have a website, don'tperish.com, all for free. Thousands of articles, teachings, street preaching videos. We don't want your money. We don't want you to follow us. We want you to follow Christ. And if we can help you in that. But what I was saying was, when people hear this gospel, they have a decision to make. And most people, the cost is too great. They say it's too radical, it's too severe. But that's exactly what Jesus calls people to. It's a life of radical faith that transforms you, that calls you out of this culture, because this culture is dying. This world is dying. And we're headed towards that tribulation. Here's another big lie. Wheaton probably teaches this. The pre-trib rapture. This is everybody, you know, with everything going on with COVID and, oh, the rapture is going to happen. Christians get to float away and we don't have to suffer. I have articles on that. That is a lie. Jesus says he's coming at the end of the tribulation. Paul says at the last trump, Christ returns. Go read Revelation. The last trump is after tribulation. Christians have always, go read the Bible. Paul was murdered. Peter was murdered. John's the only disciple that was allowed to stay alive. They boiled him in oil. It didn't kill him, and they threw him in prison on an island. That was his reward. John the Baptist got his head cut off. All true Christians are going to go through severe persecution. The world's going to hate you. Your friends, your family are mostly going to turn against you because they love the easy way. You're taking the narrow way. And so we love the world. We go into the world to call them out, but we can't be like them because we're separate. We're separate from that.
Yeah.
Does that all make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I've been reading like 1 Corinthians right now, and it's a tough book to read, especially like, you know, from the very beginning and see a lot of the divisions within the church and even see...
But that's good.
Well, it's good.
Because see, division...
Very similar...
Division, like if you had cancer, you're going to go to the doctor, and what's he going to do? He's going to divide the cancer out of your body so you can live.
Yeah.
Division on bad doctrine, you have to separate out. That's another one where people go bad. I'm just doing an article right now. Everybody thinks, well, if you disagree with people, you'll still hang around them and be with them and be like them and love them. And you know, the Bible doesn't say that at all. If you and I are brothers, here's the power of it. If you and I are brothers, I love you, you love me. If you go into sin and bad doctrine, if I go, well, what was your first name?
Aaron.
If I say, well, Aaron, you're in sin, but I love you. Come on, let's still hang out together. Is there any cost to your sin? No. You go,
well, the cost of repentance, too.
You still accept me. It's all cool. But if I go, Aaron, unless you repent of that, I've counseled you, I've talked to you, we've given you opportunity, and you go, I'm not stopping that. I'm going to keep doing it. We go, you know what? We can't associate with you anymore. Yeah. Now there's a cost to your sin. That's what God wants. God wants there to be a cost to your sin because there's going to be a cost on judgment day for your sin. So this, it's no different than you're too young, you don't have children yet. When you have children, sometimes your children are so misbehaving so much, you need to be separated. Hmm. You can't sit here and have fun with everyone else. You go sit and think about your attitude.
Yeah.
But if you just condone it, what are you going to end up with? A brat.
Right. Yeah.
So that's another thing that people, you know, people say, well, you can't leave your family if you start following Jesus, because how will you win them? You win them by your witness. You win them by preaching the gospel. And the only ones that are going to come are the ones that hear the call of the gospel. They are willing to lay down their lives. You can't friend them into the kingdom. You can't just hang out with them into the kingdom. The Bible says preach the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, whether someone's a homosexual or a drunkard or a liar, the only cure is the gospel I just preached to you, that you must turn from your sin and repent, change your mind, follow Christ, and then he'll begin to make all things right in you, teach you the word, strip your life down. And as you begin to, it's amazing. Christ says he comes to set you free. And people say, how are you guys so free? We live in our van. We travel the country. We don't take anybody's money. We preach the gospel. We do have a homestead in central Missouri, but we're never there. We travel full time. People say, how are you so free? And I said, listen, when we were worldly, we had to celebrate Christmas. We had to celebrate Easter. We had to celebrate Memorial Day. We had to celebrate birthdays. We had to celebrate anniversaries. We had to celebrate graduation parties. Just add them all up. Our life was like this. Every weekend... As soon as you go, I'm following Christ. If it's not God ordained, we don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Guess what we are? Free. That's the freedom that he gives us here. He does give us freedom in the next life too, eternal life. But he came to set us free. So he says, turn from the world. Turn from its ways. Turn from your flesh. That's the hardest one.
Yeah.
You can leave your family behind. Your flesh comes with you. And let me encourage you, you can be doctrinally perfect. People always say to me, oh, you think you're perfect. And I go, I am and I'm not. And they go, what do you mean? I said, doctrinally, I can be perfect. The Bible tells me what to believe, how to believe it, how to live it out. I can be doctrinally perfect. Where I do struggle always, and you will and everybody does, your flesh. Your flesh causes you to be angry or to look and lust for a house or a car or a person or to be depressed or to not love God the way you should. So we can be doctrinally perfect, but we'll always wrestle with our flesh. But the longer you follow Christ, you beat that flesh down. Mine used to be a 9 or a 10, and I'm working at getting it at a 3 or 4. And I just keep beating it down. And that's the hope as we crucify our flesh. So how, we changed how we act, how we dress, how we talk. You know, the Bible teaches you how to dress. The Bible teaches you so many things that the evangelical world just ignores and goes, you don't have to do that. And that's what I want. I lost my train of thought. One last thing. Grace. You'll hear that a lot. Grace. Everybody tells you, well, you get God's grace. Do you know how the Bible says you get God's grace? You don't just get it by going, I want it. Let me give you a quick story. You commit a terrible crime. You go rob a Quick Trip. You go to court. You're standing before a righteous human judge. And he says, Aaron, we got you on video robbing this Quick Trip. What? You don't have a record. I feel like I might have mercy today. Wow, a young man robbed a bank, a Quick Trip. You have no record. What say you? You got two options. You can look at that judge and go, Your Honor, please forgive me. I shouldn't have did that. It's the only time I've ever done that. Please give me mercy and I promise I'll do better. And the judge goes, I see something in you. 6 months probation. Don't show up my courtroom again. We'll wipe that off your record. You're good to go. You could walk up to that judge and go, yeah, I robbed that Quick Trip and I'll probably rob another one. What's that judge going to do to you then? He can say, go to jail, think about that. Yeah. So here's the point. You must make yourself eligible for the grace of God by repentance and telling God, I want to leave my sin. Yeah. You can't follow God in your sin. And sin is following the culture, movie, sports, entertainment, pagan holidays, anything that's unbiblical is sin against God. Sin is transgression against God's law.
What do you think, like... Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
What do you think, like, the future...
You can call me anytime, and I'll talk to you anytime.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, you can call me anytime. I'd love to
think,
talk to you.
The future, I guess, of the... I know. Church looks like... I mean, I've talked to a bunch of people, and they're, like, expecting a great pruning of the church just because of the massive amount of, like, misinformation and, like, I guess, mispreaching that's happening.
Yeah. Well,
do you see that happening?
Well, a lot of people I keep hearing say, there's going to be a great revival, and the Bible teaches the exact opposite. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a falling away, and we're in that falling away. Okay. The Roman Catholics have fallen away. The evangelicals years ago broke from the Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics killed them. Guess what? Evangelicals are coming back now. They're trying to bring the Muslim faith in. What's coming is a one world religious system.
Yeah.
And the only ones that are going to be on the outside are biblical Christians. Everyone else is going to be expected to just accept everybody. They're already doing it. Okay, let me give you this. The miniseries The Chosen, do you know what that is?
Yeah, but we haven't seen it.
Good. Stay away from it. It's unbiblical. If you put up The Chosen Exposed, my testing comes up number one. A lot of my testing come up number one on Google. The man playing Jesus, which no one should be playing Jesus. This is putting up a graven image. He's a Roman Catholic. And I've got a picture of him hugging a guy who's a Buddhist New Ager. I believe things like The Chosen are using a little bit of Bible truth, a whole bunch of made-up stuff, and a lot of ecumenicalism. You know what that is? Everybody agreeing to get along, okay. Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Christians. I believe they're using that as a net to, like, bring people in, and it's slowly, and that's going to be part of the Antichrist system to come. So I think there's going to be more and more of a falling away. I think more people are going to get in line for the Antichrist system that's coming, and the only ones that will be seeing the difference and looking for it are the ones that know the scriptures, have stripped their life down, and here's one, looking from the outside. See, most Christians in America are on the inside, looking on the inside, wondering what's going on. Biblical Christians are on the outside in America, looking in. You see it totally different when you're on the outside, looking in. And you're able to discern by the Spirit and the Word and the truth of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so I think it's going to get uglier. There's going to be more of a falling away, more deception. I think this whole, like the whole COVID thing, I don't think the vaccine is the mark of the beast. I don't think we know what the mark of the beast is. But I think they're preparing people for some type of system. Oh, you got to have this to go to school, to go to the shopping center, some kind of scan. Well, they're already scanning foreheads for temperature. And if you know Revelation 13, it says the mark will be on the forehead or the right hand. So there, I see it coming. I don't know what the mark is, but we see those things coming. But the body of Christ, excuse me, the false churches are going to fall further and further away. And I predict, I'm not a prophet, here's what's going to happen. Soon, especially under this current administration, they're probably going to pass a law like with homosexuality that if you get 501c3, which Wheaton and everybody is, you're going to have to allow that. You're going to have to allow it, even though it goes against Judeo-Christian values. And I love all those people just the same. I mean, if you're gay, you're a liar, you're a bank robber, whatever. Sin is sin. But when they're going to pass a law, oh, you want 501c3? Got to hire them.
Yeah.
You got to let them in. And you're going to see 95% are going to go with that because they want their money. They want their buildings. They want their big salaries. They're going to go along. So that's the next big thing I see coming that's going to further separate the false church even more. And people are going to have to go, we're accepting homosexuality now openly and outright? Because the culture already does.
Yeah.
It's already, they've already won the culture. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they wanted gay marriage. Well, excuse me. They wanted civil unions before you were born. Then they wanted gay marriage. Now that's not enough. Now they want to force you to accept it. Now they want transgenderism. Now they're going after children, telling them they can become a man and a girl to a man, a boy. It is craziness.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, get ready. Jesus said it will be just like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot before he comes. This is America today. And if you watch some of my street preaching videos, I'll teach that to people that we're living in the days of Sodom. And it's getting dark. And I encourage people to come out of this world system, come out of the religious system, become a Berean. And my challenge to you is this. Stay away from man-made religion for several months. Just stay away. Don't go no more. Tell people, I'm going in the Word of God. And just open your Bible. a good Bible. I hope you don't read the Message or NIV. King James is a good Bible.
I'm going to Switzerland in a couple of months. I'm doing exactly that.
You're right?
For 3 months. Oh. I'm just sitting
okay.
reading my Bible. For
okay, good. So get a good translation like a King James and just ask God to reveal truth to you. Forget all the outside input and just ask God to reveal the truth to you and begin to show you the whole fallacy of that whole Wheaton system. You know, a lot of that's built on like Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Major false teacher.
He's
a major false teacher. He's a full-blown Calvinist. I stood out down in Florida. We go down to Florida where a lot of the events are, and I preach outside Franklin Graham's, his son.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, I was preaching the gospel, and you know what everybody cried at me? Grace, grace, grace. They all believe you can live in your sin and be whatever you are, and that the grace of God will cover you.
Well, it's like marketing evangelism.
That's exactly what it is. It's to please people, itchy-eared, fill up buildings. And again, this whole system, I've got articles on all this. The building system, it's not of God. He did away with that. Modern pastor standing in the pulpit, God did away with that. The true New Testament body is a small group of people, love each other as a family. The men lead and use their gifts, and they follow after Christ. They don't need building. They don't need asphalt. They don't need all the lights. And man's turned it into a business. You don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
Because Jesus made a whip in John 2 for merchandising the things of God. That's why we don't sell anything of God. We don't ask for money from people. We don't take people's money. Jesus said, freely it was given unto you, freely you should give. And people have turned, oh, hey, Aaron, I wrote a new book. Oh, it'll revolutionize your life. $11.95. That is a blasphemy against the holy God.
So
all those things, again, I capture them all on my website because I want to warn people. I'm so glad you came over. That's why we're waiting for our grandchildren to show up. We get to see them once or twice a year.
Oh, sweet.
We put signs on our van, and we hope that people will see them. A guy just came up to me before you, sat down, was asking me where's a good place to catch fish. He got the gospel. So God uses us.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we love you. You're our neighbor, and you know, I don't know if you are my brother in Christ, but I'd love to know that you're striving, and we know saints. This is the last thing I'll tell you. That's what I want to tell you. If you can show me a building of people that are following Christ biblically or want to, one of those two, they're either following him biblically today or they want to, you call me. We want to come travel and see him. Here's the thing. I don't know of one.
That's what I'm looking for right now.
You're not going to find it. Can I say, you're not going to find it. Don't look to the Mennonites. You know, they got the head coverings and we believe in that, but they're worldly. We witnessed them. There were some down in the Wisconsin Dells yesterday. They don't want to talk about the things of God. Most people who go to a church building systems are spiritually dead. You try to talk to a Mennonite like this, they're like, come to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
They don't know the things of God. They're not born again. So you won't find it in a building. If you find a building, please call me. We want to come and see them.
Yeah.
No, and support them and help them. Because we've been doing this for years, traveling the country. We are in the great falling away. Jesus said the love will wax cold. And very few believers will find the way. 8 got on the ark. Only 2, ready for this, out of 600,000 men. I got an article on it. Look it up. Few. It's called Few. Out of 600,000 men that came out of Egypt, 2 went into the promised land. Why? Because of sin. After 3 years of preaching, God, Jesus Christ, the best evangelist that ever lived. Obviously, he's God. 3 years of ministry. How many people were in the upper room? 120. But yet men today can have thousands of people in buildings. That's because you have these programs. And the music is very false too. We teach that instrumental music is not of God. That's a very fleshly thing. Music, right? Look at it. Music makes you move. The Bible says you can't please God in the flesh. We think that just using our voices to sing to God is what God calls us to. So yeah, if you ever come across one that's fully biblical, we'd love to know about it. I'd encourage you to just go. And be careful in Europe. There's so much deception over there. We know people over there. It's the same way.
Our parents are missionaries in Albania.
Okay. Right. Really?
Yeah.
And what did you grow up in?
Albania. No. Protestant church.
Oh, Protestant, yeah.
I mean, it was non-denominational.
Yeah, go back to the foundations and look and just say, what are they teaching? And you see, you know, Martin Luther and John Calvin were both murderous men. Did you know that? Murderous men. Martin Luther agreed with the murdering of peasants when they rose up, and he said how you baptize a Jew is tie a rock around his neck and throw him in a river. He hated the Jews. Adolf Hitler used Martin Luther's books to stir up hatred for the Jews. You probably know that.
I heard about
and
that.
And John Calvin signed off and agreed to having people executed over the truth of God. Now let me ask you a question. If you knew I tied somebody to that tree and lit them on fire because they didn't agree with me on a doctrine, would you call me a godly man? That's John Calvin. That's evangelicalism. Run from it. It's not of God.
Yeah. Lots of things to think about.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you came over. We love you.
It's good to
meet
you.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you sometime. You got my text. You got my email on the card. Go to don'tperish.com. And here's what I offer people. If I got anything wrong, please come.
Yeah.
Show me.
I will.
I don't care if it's one of your professors. I've talked with professors, men with doctorate degrees, pastors. If they want to show me, I stand on God's word. I know it's true, and I won't be moved from it. I won't follow traditions of men. Jesus said you must worship in spirit and truth. So that's my encouragement to you.
It's very encouraging to see people like
you. I was here at the right time for you.
You were.
Glory to God, not me.
Thank you. Blessings.
All right. Hope to hear from you.
Yes.
God be praised. Safe travels.